Life's most powerful dreams are the ones we realize ourselves, the ones that turn us into legends. That kid from Palmdale always knew it. Now the world will too.
This fucking Honda Civic ass commercial.
They're like, we have an ad for a Acura, but I think that's it for Paul George, right?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Full Court Mess, the hottest basketball hot take podcast with the hottest basketball hot takes. That's too hot. Four boys. One of them's a guest. I'm your local Warriors fan, Jared.
I'm your local Bucks fan, Joe, and I just want to say, woof.
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 Beautiful. Woof. I am a... actually going to attend an NBA game in the next week, and I'm Will.
We have a special guest today. He is a non-local Warriors fan, a deserter, recently moved out from Warriors territory / Kings territory, which happens to also be Lakers territory all over. You can find him at Trent is tweeting on Twitter. Trent.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I got.
All right. That's all we need. The show's over. That's a wrap.
Let's jump in. Start off with our enlightenment take, and we're going to go back to an old friend of the friend of the show, Michael Thompson, best friend of the show. And we're going to go to him reacting to a little baseball news, the Mike Trout contract. He said, 430 for 12 years? Yikes. Didn't think catching trout was so expensive. That's one question. Harper, you need to call Philly and renegotiate, buddy. And you may think that, I mean, that's a classic Michael Thompson tweet, but where it gets beautiful is in the replies. This is a masterclass in turning the tables on someone without even realizing you're doing it. Someone responded, "You, sir, took my puns away." And Michael said, "Gotta be fast. Gotta get your line in the water faster for that trout, Ale." This person's name was Ale on Twitter. And Ale said, "Okay, Michael, I see you. You real funny, huh? Thanks for cracking me up." And Michael said, "Anytime." And fantastic day. And Michael said, "You too, Ale. We are blessed every day to be healthy and living in this great country." May you take Michael's route anytime anyone jumps in your replies on Twitter.
That made me feel really good inside.
It really is.
I feel truly enlightened.
I do.
Thank you, Will.
So before we get to the news, I want to bring up an old two old tweets from Trent.
Awesome.
We know Trent from the DMs. We've been in a basketball chat with him for... it's been years. Turns out he's been tweeting far before we met him in the DMs. So let's bring it back to 2014. "I want to tweet about basketball, but 95% of my followers are teenage girls. # first world problems. # know your audience. Has this changed?"
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my Twitter followers are not like entirely men. So we flipped it around 100%. Yeah, at the time, I think I probably had like 50 followers, and I didn't really use Twitter. I just kind of had a bunch of like the only people I knew who had Twitter accounts were like girls in my high school. So they weren't particularly interested in the Warriors, I guess. And I don't know what kind of tweets I even had in mind. I'm too sad that we were truly robbed of some of the greatest takes of a generation. I had some strong thoughts on, Steven Jackson, Al Harrington, all those boys, Al Thornton,
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Trent had a steaming Go Warriors lined up in his draft, but the thought of his FIFOs kept him from ever sending it out.
I should have taken the Will approach and just entirely tweeted about things that nobody understands.
Fair, fair.
Well, speaking of Warriors, we have your other tweet. This is from May 2013. Why does it gotta be like this, Warriors, with the little slash face, hashtag deja vu, hashtag first tweet in 3 months?
Why does it have to do like that, man? That speaks for itself. I assume they lost, right? Like, they, that was probably the year they lost to the, they beat the Nuggets and they lost to whoever they played after that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 2013?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Things were tough, man. You know, they weren't that good yet. I remember, like, skipping my prom my senior year and watching Game 7 of the Clippers series and watching them lose and being like, well, this wasn't worth it.
I like how you're like,
should have catered to more of those teenage girls and gone to prom.
I really should have.
I like how you're like, yeah, that year was rough. 2013 was rough, but not like the 25 years before that.
Right.
I didn't have Twitter in the late 90s, so.
Extremely relatable bit of news from the prom, though, because I remember my sophomore year of college, Wizards Hawks was on as people were moving out, and I legit did not realize my best friend had moved out and left, like, for the summer, because I was too wrapped up in, like, game two of Wizards Hawks. The story even worked perfectly full circle because that game ended and the girl I was talking to at the time texted me to tell me that she would be unfollowing me on Twitter because of how unbearable I was during the game.
Just screaming about like Andre Blatch or whatever.
I mean, no, this was like the second round of the playoffs. It was John Wall and Brad Beal, but I was literally like, I do what I do every time I get excited about sports, and I just like tweet players' names in all caps. So it's just like Brad and Panda, but like 30 seconds. So she was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this. And I was like, I mean, I can't believe it took you this long.
That's she was just upset that you didn't reference Mahinmi enough. Wow, no love for Ian Mahinmi. All right, unfollowed.
So should we bring it into some news? I actually have a piece of breaking news this week. I was thinking it's been a slow week. But
we're all hearing about this live. Jared kept this from us.
Yeah, I kept this
pre-show.
From everyone.
I like that it's breaking news that you've been thinking about all week.
This is breaking news since 3 days ago when I saw the tweet from Woj. Our favorite podcast favorite GamerGator, Spencer Haas. Woj tweets, pretty good story in G League. Spencer Haas, out of NBA a year ago, carved body into best shape of his life and has made impressive return to Lakers affiliate. Over 20 points per game past 5 games, including 29 tonight, shooting 59% on threes. He's on NBA's radar for a call-up.
He's on the Lakers affiliate, you said?
Yeah, South Bay.
I, for one, I'm extremely here for hot Spencer Haas.
How much help does Kentavious Caldwell-Pope need?
There it is. There it is.
Do you know how mad that fan must have been when they spent $7,000 on the courtside ticket? And Spencer Haas wasn't even called up for the game.
Oh. I want my money back.
Garbage.
My most vivid memory of Spencer Haas is that post-game interview where he was wearing a Hillary for Prison t-shirt.
Oh.
That pretty much sums it up.
Mine is definitely the Christmas suit, which is a more benign one. But yours describes him better.
We'll flip this news upside down, and we'll have a... I'll bring up a quote tweet from at WSCHAF11, WSCHAAF11. He quoted the Woj tweet and says, this is not a good story. Spencer Haas is a proud white supremacist and all-around bigot. It's not sad that he's been out of predominantly black league for a couple years, making millions and millions of dollars from it. Fuck Spencer Haas. That was actually the breaking news.
Nice. Did the Clippers and the Kings miss the memo that California teams need to sign racist centers this week, or?
Yeah, when's Spencer Haas and Bogut going to be on the same team?
I just figured I mean, I know it didn't happen, but I just kind of assumed it did when Hawes was in Charlotte and they had like every white big man in the league on the same team.
Do not disparage. BJ Mullins is not racist.
Wait, that's the one. Like, I'll give you the rest, but don't come for Mullen.
Mike Muscala's dad is going wild right now. Next on my list of news, I just have written here, it says Egg Boy Shoes.
What?
Egg Boy
what?
Shoes.
What a beautiful story.
What a beautiful story. So that's actually about Ben Simmons, who has been sporting hashtag Egg Boy on his shoes.
Okay.
Which has brought up a tweet towards him from at Birthing Rocket. Sounds painful. At Ben Simmons 25, Egg Boy, so you support a 17-year-old attacking a 69-year-old from behind? About the heroic Australian egg boy who cracked an egg over a, was it a senator?
Whatever kind of government they have down there.
Some fucked up Australian stuff that Bogut left behind.
Some toilets flushing in reverse stuff.
Apparently that senator, whatever, is, said some racist type things regarding a what happened in New Zealand. Anyways, Egg Boy, you support a 17-year-old attacking a 69-year-old from behind? That's pathetic. You'd be fine with someone attacking your dad from behind just because he didn't like his opinion? Ben Simmons replies, if my dad was to say something like that, dumb, 100%.
What can we say? Ben Simmons doesn't love his parents.
Ben Simmons.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
This is a Ben Simmons fan account and podcast now. I love so much about the story because I feel like, A, it guarantees that Ben Simmons is at least somewhat to vary online and also keeps up with Australian politics a fair amount.
It's funny that putting hashtag Eggboy on your shoes actually like hints to a bit of wokeness within you.
Right?
Who would have thought?
Like, what a surprising story. This is a man who only tweets the emoji where it's the face with the smoke coming out of the nostrils and does it like twice a week. And then hopped on Twitter, and I'm not even just like tweets, like if you go in tweets and replies, that's still all you see. Then randomly decided to respond to this one person who called out his shoes just to severely own him.
I've been putting hashtag Eggboy on my shoes since fourth grade. Everybody made fun of me, but just look at me now, being very woke with my #1 hashtag Eggboy shoes.
Eggboy shoes are cool, but my Mayo Boy shirt isn't cool. Mayo is just like eggs. Come on, y'all.
That's people forget this. So Doc Rivers has been in swirling around the rumor mill of the Lakers having interest in him as their coach. Whether that's through like, I don't know how that would even happen. But I think Doc Rivers' contract was expiring at the end of this year in the summer, and he basically shot that down immediately and was like, we already have an extension here in the works. I want to be here. I'm not going across town or in the same. I'm not going to coach in the same building for another team. And yeah, so just like shot it down. He said, this is a great place to work. I don't want to coach the Lakers. He was very direct about it.
Is this a tough loss for the Lakers?
I think it's like a symptom of being a Laker fan, or like just assuming that everybody wants to play for you and everyone wants to coach for you. Like, it's always just the best place in the league to be, which Doc Rivers made very clear that it's not for him anyway. And I think a lot of other people would agree.
Do you think the Lakers fans had made Photoshops with like Doc wearing like a purple tie and they had to?
Absolutely.
I kind of love it just because this has been a great season to just like watch people's opinions on Twitter, because it was like literally last year when people were saying Doc Rivers is a terrible coach. He's just awful. Like all those other years where he was a good coach are lies. He's bad and he's been bad. And then this year we're all the way back to, oh crap, Doc Rivers is a really good coach.
It's just kind of crazy to me that like Luke Walton's trajectory has flipped the entire opposite this year, and coaches would look at that and be like, this is a team I really want to coach. Like, I would just love to be every day, you know, LeVar Ball screaming at me, you know.
I get there is appeal, so I'm not saying there isn't any, but if you've already are in a good spot, why would you want to coach LeBron? Like, unless you're the guy he handpicked, it can't be a good idea.
Yeah, David Blatt had to go to Russia afterwards. You know, that's he's in Siberia, down in igloo.
Luke Walton's gonna join him.
He refuses to speak to anyone.
Like, Luke Walton, LeBron's gotten rid of every coach he didn't want. Like, unless LeBron himself called Doc and said, "I want you to be my coach," which, based off of his MO, it doesn't seem likely. Like, there's no reason to want to be in that situation because he would just be getting rid of you while you were there.
I mean, Doc Rivers lost 3 stars and wasn't fired despite fans turning on him and the entire organization, like, really quickly. Like, why would he? To be fair, he's also done like a fantastic job since then, but like, he obviously has great job security. Why would he leave that for the Lakers?
I think maybe like Lakers media or Lakers fans were saying like, oh, his deal's expiring. He's going to be a free agent in the summer. We could get him as our coach. And then it just became like, there was no talk of like, does he want to come to the Lakers? It was just like, of course he'd want to come to the Lakers. Why wouldn't he? It's the Lakers.
That's like that's the same thing they did when at least like Paul George, there was like rumors that he wants to be a Laker and stuff like that. But like when they were pretending that they might get Russell Westbrook for a while, it was literally just because he was like, oh yeah, he went to UCLA. He's from LA. He never mentioned the team at any point.
Right.
But yeah.
About that that poem that they wrote Paul George to entice him to come to LA.
This is the first time hearing of this.
I feel like they wrote something to him. Let me see if I can look it up. But they were like, it's something very corny where it's like, let me see if I can find it. Like their pitch got leaked and it was really, really bad. It was like hilariously bad. Okay, here's a poem. Let me read it out loud.
Wait, okay. So this is the Lakers organization pitching Paul George to come to LA?
Yeah. It's a video. And according to SI, let's see, it's a video with a voiceover recited with more of a Jamie Foxx tone, which I am not going to do, but we'll read it. "We were just a kid in your room, dreaming from Palmdale. We were dreaming too. While you dreamt, we built for your arrival. And while we dreamt, you built too, becoming one of the world's greatest. Life's most powerful dreams are the ones we realize ourselves, the ones that turn us into legends. That kid from Palmdale always knew it. Now the world will too."
This fucking Honda Civic ass commercial.
They're like, we have an ad for a Acura, but I think it's for Paul George, right?
This is why the Lakers strike out on every goddamn free agent, because they come there and they like go to somewhere else and the places are like, all right, you know, we'll give you this much money. This is how we're going to build the team around you while you're here. And the Lakers are like, didn't you want to be on this team when you were a kid? Remember that?
Remember Showtime?
Here's this poem we had a high school intern write for you.
No, I bet Magic Johnson wrote that himself.
That's possible.
For just as much evidence as we could possibly give that this how rough this season has been for the Lakers, we had a tweet from someone named Mike Dreyer yesterday who said, hashtag Lakers need to blow it up. No other team in the entirety of professional sports needs a restart as bad as the LA Lakers. Trade Braun, fire Walton, get rid of everyone except Kuzma and build around him. Can't even cover an 11-point spread versus the Bucks, who are playing without Giannis.
The Lakers were also playing without LeBron in that game.
I don't know. Disregarding everything else, I don't feel like I would have expected them to cover that spread.
Right.
I really want to zero in on get rid of everyone except Kuzma and build around him.
Now,
build like a lottery contender around him? Or what's the team look like?
Well, hold on.
In that case.
Because Kuzma is the son of the show, which means he's very good.
Is Kuzma's son of the show? I might leave this show.
Kuzma is a son of Jared's, yes.
Oh.
That's Kuzma. Official. That's canon.
Kuzma's an anti-son of Will's.
For why?
One, I don't like his face.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
Checkmate.
Two, he had a anti-UNC tweet like 18 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So I'm well-grounded here.
The one thing I've learned about being in LA, just talking to Lakers fans out here, is that like Lakers fans who are female are very attracted to Kyle Kuzma. I was talking to one girl and she was just like, showed me her DMs and she was just like updating Kyle Kuzma like multiple times, like a month, just being like, hey, see you in LA, let's hang out. Just no responses ever. But you know, gotta shoot your shot.
Shout out to Trent for that sick brag. And all these girls in LA are just showing him their Instagram and their DMs.
But Trent rapidly deleting his DMs he sent to Kuzma.
I have a serious, this is a personal take, a serious LA Lakers next coach take.
Okay.
I think their next coach is already in house. They should hire Rajon Rondo to be their coach. I am completely serious. I think Rajon Rondo, when he does retire, is going to be a great NBA coach. That is my take.
I think he's going to have a record of most ejections in a coaching career, to add on to your take.
We define greatness in different ways.
Okay. Okay.
Pretend I made a incredibly timely, like, 2011 era joke that somehow combined Rajon Rondo's love of Connect Four and those old LeBron can't score in the fourth quarter jokes together. Something like connecting four quarters, LeBron needs that or something. Just pretend there's something good there. Thank you. Thank you.
Good joke.
I worked on it for a while.
Who should the next coach of the Lakers be? Jason Kidd? Ty Lue?
I saw a great sincere take from the Lakers fan yesterday, like prominent one on Twitter, who was advocating for Ty Lue. And one of their, like, they're like, it's LeBron's guy, but one of their reasoning, points of reason was like, and we know he's great in the playoffs, or he's like been excellent in the playoffs. And there's a point that he's done good things in the playoffs, but also last year in the playoffs, he was horrendous. I'm not sure I would be on board with that one.
Oh, I'm on board.
Bill Walton and Luke Walton became the first father son head coach in the NBA.
Oh, down. Very down.
Yes,
very 100%. Down, yes.
Vibes of the team would be extremely chill.
He's like, Bill Walton's like, oh, good win, guys. I made you guys cookies.
Krista, Mo Wagner, Michelle,
the 4 hours before the game.
The team's just like 0-40, and Walton's just showing up to press conferences like, let us not get trapped in the ideas of winning and losing. Lifestyle, and it is not the world in which I choose to live. And then people just are committing arson at his house. I'm still imagining when Trent said that Luke Walton's going to have to go to Siberia, just Luke Walton showing up like in a tank top and board shorts in Siberia.
He's going to take his time to acclimate, and he's actually going to live in the same igloo as David Blatt, which they're going to have maybe a sitcom sort of relationship where, you know, David Blatt's he's very angry all the time, and he's like shaking his head, and Luke's always getting into trouble in the igloo. He's, I don't know, he's overcooking the ice chicken, you know, things like
that. He's sawing a hole in the ice, and then everything around him drops, and the hole doesn't.
There's definitely a lot of great bits around Luke trying to like pee his name into the igloo or something like that.
Luke's bringing home, he's bringing home like a snow leopard, and he's like, David Blatt, can we keep him? And David Blatt's furious.
Oh man. Luke just bringing home just voluptuous babes all the time, and Blatt is on the other side holding up two ice blocks to his ears while they fuck.
I like how in this sitcom, Luke Walton is still calling David Blatt, David Blatt. Not like not like Dave or Davey or David. It's, hey, David Blatt.
It feels weird to call David Blatt anything but David Blatt.
He looks like such a David Blatt.
Yeah.
Like when you look at him, you get that kind of like feeling. That's the same like feeling his name inspires.
You're like, Coach Blatt, and he's like, no, it's David Blatt.
please, call me David Blatt.
His son call him Dad, and he's like, no, it's David Blatt. David Blatt Jr., do not call me Dad.
I have, since we have Trent, since we have a you know, double Warrior fans right now, which means all our listeners are now gone, unsubscribed. I found this tweet from this random account with 6 followers, but it's fun. This is from at Marcus 0517-1093. maybe I didn't need to say their at because they're not.
There's just that many other Marcuses on Twitter. He's that number one afterward.
Maybe I'll edit his handle out.
There's Marcus 1, 2, 3 up to this number.
Anyways,
it's just happened, he's not a real person.
That's true.
So I don't feel bad about saying the handle.
Yeah. So I love the 3-point shot. Steph Curry changed it, but I am really getting sick of basketball games where guys are just jacking shots from 30-plus feet. Where did team and playing together mean something?
Just every guy who's over 40 years old.
Wait, where did team and playing together mean something? Did he mean to say go? Either way, this man has never watched a Warriors game.
Mm-hmm.
But
he saw Steph like make a 3-quarter court shot at the buzzer and was like, he's just heaving up 75 footers.
He didn't pass the ball. He didn't even think about passing the ball.
I was like putting those people like in contrast with all the Warriors fans who were just furious with Steve Kerr during the strength and numbers season for playing the bench way too much.
True.
He was like, this is only about the superstars. And I'm like, au contraire, Festus Ezeli and Anderson Varejão are getting minutes in game 7.
Oh, this Twitter account, the location is Cleveland, of course.
So, are there any famous Marcuses who have been on the Cavs? Was Marcus Thornton ever Cav?
He was on a lot of teams, so it's possible.
Where did team and playing together go?
So, yeah, it's a real head scratcher there, man. I don't know. Where's it been?
See, what else? He likes Michigan basketball.
Go Blue.
Strange.
Retweeting Magic Johnson, which is a bad sign of your takes.
I like that juxtaposition considering like Michigan basketball runs one of the most innovative and like NBA like offenses in college basketball. It's like the basketball team that a Warriors fan should like.
Yeah.
Except he hates what the Warriors have done to basketball.
That's a fun Steph Curry take that I'm sure Trent hears from Laker fans down there. Steph ruined the league.
You know, I haven't really heard that one. The only takes I really hear are just people being really overconfident with what free agents they're going to land. You know, you hear a lot of like last year it was Paul George, Kawhi, and LeBron. And it was extremely funny to see all my Lakers friends, like, you know, Snapchats on, you know, July 1st or whatever. They're just instantly like, fuck Paul George, you know. Immediately turn on them and be like, how could you not want to come to Los Angeles, you know, like, and clearly they've been, you know, proven right at this point.
I appreciate Paul George so much for not only turning down the Lakers, but immediately turning in by far the best year of his career right after he did it.
True.
How would it be with Paul George right now? I mean, they'd be like playoffs at least, right?
Yeah. Well, I think they'd have home court advantage in the first round.
Yeah, he really. I mean, Paul George probably a better fit than you know, Lance Stephenson, but who am I to say?
Yeah, that's debatable.
Sorry, did you hear the that Lance Stephenson and Lonzo Ball track that came out recently?
The rap song.
Yes.
Yeah, that shit sucks. That was cheeks.
But Lance Stephenson, better rapper than Lonzo.
That's also true. Also true. Maybe we can we'll share that on our account. That, and you know what's funny is all the replies like, oh wow, this actually low-key fire. This low-key fire.
People just want to be the first to discover something and claim that it's good, so that when everyone else is like, oh, this actually is good, they're like, yeah, I already knew that. You're welcome. Everyone.
It's like the big Crit skit, the classic skit that Crit has on Forever Is a Mighty Long Time, where it's just dude sitting there, it's like, you heard that new album? It's a classic. And dude's like, what? You ain't listened to it yet. Yeah, man, it's a classic. Thing has 14 skits. He's like, 14 skits? It has 14 tracks and 14 skits. It's a classic. It was one of the greatest exchanges of all time. If you never heard, you gotta listen to it. It's only like 40 seconds long. But the guy says, look, if the hood rock with it, it's a classic. And the guy says, man, you live in a cul-de-sac. And you go, hey, please go that way.
I would love to hear some skits on the Lonzo Ball tracks. It's just like him and Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma is just like roasting the shit out of them. He can barely respond. He's like, yeah, man, fuck you, man. Absolutely nothing.
It's like you hear LeVar in there just like screaming at him, like, you are so much worse than I thought. You might even be worse than LiAngelo. And it's like, all right.
So we can say that this next Lakers season is a classic.
We can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Confirmed. The current ones are classic. They're all classics at this point.
This is a classic season right now, actually, yeah. Also, shouts out to the Lakers for this week actually confirming that they are, they can be more trash for saying that they're not going to renew Andre Ingram's 10-day.
Are you serious?
Serious. Read that earlier today. No.
Got to make room for Spencer Hawes on the roster.
That's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I liked that at some point this past week they took a picture of him and he was wearing the exact same fit that he was wearing the year before, like to the polo shirt, the same jeans with like the running shoes. It was, you know, he's a man with one fit and you gotta respect that.
That's true.
Is it possible that Andre Ingram is too good and the Lakers are trying to tank, so they're not renewing him? Maybe. because
he played a whole
two he minutes. Would win them games.
He played a whole 2 minutes, I think, in that 10 days, and they're like, oh, shoot, we can't do this.
They just feel that aura around him when he enters a game, even on the bench, even in the building.
They have to got rid of him because it made Brandon so insecure for there to actually be a good Ingram on the team.
they're stitching a B Ingram on the back of Brandon Ingram's jersey, even though he's not playing anymore this season. And leaving Andre Ingram's just Ingram. March Madness is beginning this week, and I know this is an NBA take podcast, but it is related to presumed number one pick in 2019, Zion Williamson.
Who?
Zion?
Okay.
Okay, all right. I was pronouncing it incorrectly. I see. Okay, so Zion, of course, plays for Duke. Duke is a one seed in the tournament. They have been pretty dominant when Zion's been healthy. Another team that you may or may not know about in the NCAA tournament is Wofford. Wofford, their mascot is the Terriers, as in the small dogs. They are a seven seed in March Madness, which is the highest seed of any team from the Southern Conference ever in the history of the tournament. And they are on a 20-game win streak. It's the longest win streak in the country. They are maybe the hottest team in the tournament, arguably, going into the weekend. And Zion Williamson almost went to Wofford. Did you guys know this?
I did.
Why would he go to Wofford?
So Zion Williamson is from Spartanburg, Kentucky, which is also where Wofford is located. So Zion Williamson was playing high school basketball in Spartanburg, Kentucky, 4 miles away from Wofford.
South Carolina?
Oh, sorry. It's South Carolina. Thank you. Well, so Zion Williamson, Wofford was the first university to recruit Zion Williamson. They knew about him before everyone else did. Now, Zion pretty much blew up and became a nationally known basketball player by the time he was a junior in high school, maybe even sooner than that. So as the coach at Wofford said, he quickly soared above Wofford and was garnering interest from, you know, nationally recognized programs. So it was not, I wouldn't say it was a close call, but let me find a quote in here. Okay. Zion Williamson played his high school ball in Spartanburg, only 4 miles from Wofford. And for several years, when people asked him what college he might go to, he always listed Wofford among the contenders. When I, the article writer, went down to watch him play and interview him in 2017, he told me Wofford was a real possibility. Coach Young and his staff from Wofford recruited Williamson hard. He was here a lot, Young said. He's a wonderful young man, and I'm such a fan of his. I saw him as a ninth grader. He was a special talent. Anybody could have seen it. goodness gracious. Here's this giant of a man who is a little heavy at the time, and then he starts to play, and he leaves the floor, and he looks like he's going to jump over the backboard. We had a great relationship with him and his family. He enjoyed our players. He would come over to the campus on weekends, hang out, and do what kids do. So picture this. This is now the article kind of laying out the take here. So picture this. Let's say Williamson was a little more of a late bloomer, that he didn't explode on the national scene quite so fast, and that Drake wasn't wearing Williamson's jersey when Zion was 16. Then the coach goes on. There came a time toward the end of his junior year that it was evident that he had flown above Spartanburg and Wofford College. So anyway, the whole comparison in the article is talking about what if Zion Williamson had gone to a smaller school like Steph Curry did? How would they do in the tournament, et cetera, et cetera. So any thoughts on this? I thought it was interesting.
I mean, he wouldn't have gotten better tear-proof Nikes like he did like
it's probably true.
A week after tearing those.
Honestly, it would be incredibly fun to watch just based off of Wofford just jacks up threes at incredible rates. And
yeah, they've got a great, great three-point shooter and several, but there's one guy that's like really, really great.
Oh yeah, it's fitting you bring up that point. As long as Fletcher McGee hits two threes in the NCAA tournament at some point, he is breaking and every three after that setting the new all-time record for threes in a career. So if we're saying Zion is still as good as he is right now, if he is a later bloomer and goes to this Wofford team and everything else goes the same, they're like a title contender easily.
Oh yeah. Their Wofford's enrollment is just above 1600.
Wow.
It would just be crazy to see like, yeah, Wofford being, you know, I'm sure Zion would have put up even more gaudy numbers than he did at Duke playing against lesser competition at these smaller schools in the Southern Conference. Like, he would have been it just would have been absurd.
I don't know anything about college basketball. I literally just know who Zion Williamson is. I saw somebody say something nice about Wofford on Twitter. So they're in my Sweet 16 in my bracket.
You got him beating Kentucky?
I haven't beaten Kentucky.
I do too.
Oh, wow. I thought I was being original here. Maybe I have to change it
now. we've got an update. We've got an update. I have Wofford winning it all. So,
yeah. If we could get Zion to Wofford before this weekend, that would be awesome. We'd love him to get that.
Zion just puts out a Kevin Durant-esque thing or a LeBron back to Cleveland-esque thing. I'm coming home to Spartanburg today.
He just gets on the court like wearing a Wofford jersey and was like, you know you can't do that, right? Everyone's like, are you going to stop all the refs? Are you going to
stop? It would be crazy to me, I think, if, you know, I think Duke's playing like Prairie View A&M or whatever, and Zion just before the game, you know, he has some sort of like Kylo Ren situation where he's just swayed and he like joins Prairie View A&M and, you know, they take down Duke. That's what I'm rooting for this weekend.
We're out now. Now I can go play for Wofford. That's his plan the whole time.
I actually specifically selected that scenario to happen in my bracket. So if Zion does not defect from Duke, join the other team and beat Duke in the first round, I am going to get killed because I have whatever new team he joins in the Sweet 16.
Well, you gotta let Bob.
Just trying to win that $1 million from Warren Buffett, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was mistaken. He would be joining North Dakota State, which is even better for me.
Absolutely.
The only non-white guy on the team.
here we go. Back to this conversation.
I was about to give a shout-out to Nate Walters, but he went to South Dakota State, so never mind. Nate Walters, I do not give you a shout-out.
Our streak maintains intact of never shouting out Nate Walters on this show. It was close.
So. Very close. Nate Walters, we're not talking about you. If you're listening, this isn't about you.
Spell your last name like the real Walters.
Joe, I feel like I have to ask you about this. On this night of recording, the Bucks lost to the Cavs.
Oh, no.
Giannis is out.
Okay.
Mirotic is out. Brogdon is out. I heard Bonzi Colson could see real minutes tonight. Now, I did not watch the game, but I'll pull up a box score here.
Let me tell you that Bonzi Colson did not get real minutes tonight. He didn't even get fake minutes.
Oof. He might have gotten fake minutes. They were down 11 at half, and they lost by 5. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. Are the Bucks in trouble?
I don't like their chance of signing AD this season.
Hey, never say never. Tim Frazier got real minutes. We just signed him the other day.
Timbo.
He had 15 minutes and almost put up a Tony Snell line. I'm seeing 15 minutes and one rebound.
Ooh.
Zeros everywhere else.
Is Tony Snell the best player to get all zeros with like significant minutes?
I think he did it in like 30 minutes too.
Yeah.
Did I have like a foul or anything?
He had zeros across the board. 0 points, fouls, rebounds, turnovers, anything.
Was it 30 minutes? Was this plus minus zero?
I don't know.
That would be incredible.
I'm gonna have to look this up.
So the Bucks only played 8 guys tonight. Giannis did not play. Brogdon did not play. Mirotić did not play. George Hill did not play. Pau Gasol did not play. Sterling Brown did not play. Dante DiVincenzo did not play. The starters were Brooke Lopez, Ersan Ilyasova, Chris Middleton, Tony Snell, Eric Bledsoe. And the only guys to come off the bench were Pat Connaughton, DJ Wilson, and Tim Frazier. Huh. That is a bare-bones lineup.
I'm pretty sure I saw a stat today that Pat Connaughton has more dunks this year than Russell Westbrook does.
Wow.
That would be interesting, because Connaughton hasn't played in every game this year.
He probably has more threes,
I would be surprised by that.
I saw a tweet today that said Pat Connaughton just will not stop dunking during the game.
He does dunk a lot. He loves to dunk.
And, he has the best vert in combine history, baby.
Yep. He's good. He's no just like an athlete that can't do anything else. He's a good shooter, pretty good defender, like serviceable backup guard for sure.
All right, so check this out. Snell's game, the zero stat game, was 22 seconds shy of breaking the record of the longest zero stat game.
Wow.
Record belongs to Joel Anthony, who played 28 minutes, 46 seconds with all zeros, which was in 2011, January
9th. What was Tony Snell's plus minus in that game, do we know?
I am still trying to find that.
That'd be tough to dig up on short notice.
Yeah.
But it would be truly incredible.
Half of the time we spend on this podcast is trying to dig things up on short notice.
To answer your question, Jared, I do not think the Bucks are in trouble unless these injuries keep piling up. We've had pretty bad luck the last couple weeks with injuries. Brogdon, a couple weeks ago, said he would be out 6 to 8 weeks, which could be like maybe the whole first round of the playoffs, potentially. Mirotić broke his thumb yesterday, but I guess he's supposed to be back for the playoffs. Giannis, I'm sure, was just rest the last couple games. But had pretty good injury luck up until this point, this whole year. So
it's about time.
We'll see. I mean, injuries are bound to happen. You don't want it to happen. But, yeah, I think we're okay, especially in the first round. I think we'll be fine.
Well, you know who is in trouble this week?
Who is in trouble this
week? Kent Bazemore.
Ooh. He sure is.
Sweet transition.
Thank you. Will, take it away.
So Kent Bazemore got crossed up to hell by James Harden last night. One of the nice ones where he ended up running in a full circle while turned the wrong way. And I mean, a big circle. It was not a tight one. He didn't just spin around. He just had a solid like 4-foot radius.
Little like comical noises came out of it too.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody started playing like Yakety Sax was just playing as it was happening. So he got crossed up real bad. Everyone was laughing. And then, you know, life moved on. Today, in a classic Baze move, Kent Bazemore decided to release like a fake notes apology for what had happened. You know, got in the notes app, posted the screenshot to Instagram explaining why he got crossed up and than letting everyone at the bottom, letting everyone know that he was okay, that he was all right, still okay, which was, for me, in theory, a classic move, just perfect. For me personally, it left a bit to be desired in execution, because he spent so much time in the explanation explaining like why it was pretty reasonable to be crossed up in that scenario because of how he was planning on going for the ball, that it sounded like he was actually trying to make excuses for it. But in the end, a classic Bazemore move. It was pretty funny. But I did want to poll you guys and see what are the moments in NBA history where someone should have had to have released a notes app apology.
I mean, I like to think that Brandon Knight would have had a really good one.
He should have had two really good ones.
he has a notebook full of them. Okay. I just like to think like apologizing for getting massively dunked on. It's like when I was young, I was taught to just, you know, go at it 100% and you know, to never not try. And since then I've learned that some things you shouldn't try. And I made a mistake and I disappointed my whole fan base and I'm very sorry. And I hope that you guys can all grow with me.
I think definitely the first two that came to my mind were Ty Lue getting stepped over.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
He definitely had to have apologized to everyone for that. He should have to apologize to Iverson for making him do that to him.
True, and
The other one was who was the poor bastard who fell over and James Harden just looked at him for like 5 seconds
before he Wesley Johnson.
Yeah, that was actually my number one. The first one I thought of was back to James Harden, who was a fiend of crossing people over. He should have had to have written a small book because that was shameful.
I think it would be really funny if J.R. Smith, you know, put something after game one of the finals last year. But he didn't do it with the app. He did it on like that like twit longer site where you can like write like slightly longer. I don't know what it would have said. I'm sure it would have had some quick words.
How mad was twit longer when Twitter expanded to 280 characters?
Ooh.
Absolutely. It was a tough day.
Like, it's going to be a huge Q3 for us, everybody. Let's strap in. And then the announcement came out and everyone got fired in the same day.
RIP Twit longer, RIP Fave Star, gone but not forgotten.
True. I'd like to think with JR that he, instead of like a I wasn't thinking Twit longer, that's really good, but also like a book, like a whole ass book, like if he actually meant to do that, if he was thinking it's like, if I did it.
I think Chris Paul should be forced to release an oral history of every time Steph Curry has owned him on the court.
I think of the Jason Terry getting dunked on by LeBron in the playoffs in 2013.
Absolutely.
Which is this week the anniversary of that?
Or yes.
Yeah. Another dunk on him? Or is it the same?
Let me look here. I Googled LeBron James dunk on Jason Terry to find what year it was. And there's an article titled, Jason Terry says kids ask why LeBron dunked on him.
That's why he needs to release something. They're like, this has scarred people.
This was through the show The Jump on ESPN. Basically, they asked him, what were you thinking with Jason Terry? That's the segment. And so he says, I think the worst thing about this is every time I'm in arenas or at the grocery store, little kids come up to me and say, hey, are you Jason Terry? Why did LeBron dunk on you? I'm like, come on. I thought you were going to ask for an autograph.
He writes like a children's book.
I hope the best part of like, if he had to answer that question, because if he answered it honestly, he would be like, well, LeBron actually hated me because I was shit-talking him so much. And so he decided to do that to me. And it would be a great lesson in, like, comeuppance. Because there's a legitimate reason LeBron enjoyed dunking on him. Like, the story of after that game, LeBron, like, went to the post-game and, like, asked the reporters to ask about the dunk. He's like, I want to talk about what I just did to Jason Terry.
Damn. I didn't know that.
He stared him down so long. He was so happy he got to do that to him because Jason Terry was on those Mavs team, that Mavs team where LeBron choked and talked like unrepentant shit after that. And so when he was on the Celtics and LeBron got to do that to him, he was psyched.
Was that the year that he got the like 20 whatever champions tattoo before the playoffs started?
That was when he was on the Mavs.
Came true.
Yeah. So was he right?
He was right that year. Yes. 2011, I think, was when the Mavs won it.
That's
is legitimate. So that's a big flex.
People don't talk about that enough. I mean, can you imagine? Like that's a big risk for, you know, very little payoff.
Right.
It's the exact opposite of Rick Pitino winning the championship, getting a tattoo to celebrate it with his team, and then the championship getting vacated.
If he did get that tattoo and they lost, is that more embarrassing than the LeBron dunk?
No.
Damn.
Because you can hide a tattoo.
That's true.
Okay.
Also, I love the questions like that they asked him, what were you thinking? Because I just imagine he was thinking something along the lines of like, ah, God, no, this hurts.
Yeah. I don't think he was thinking, I can block this.
What were you thinking when you stepped into the intersection and the bus hit you at 50 miles an hour?
Ow, my bones.
I got this.
Like that. Not only did he get dunked on horribly, it looks really painful.
It does.
Halfway to the rim in the air and just gets body slammed to the ground and just lands flat on his back.
Yep.
He laid there for a while, which is smart because he should have just pretend you're dead. Until like everyone feels bad, I'm alive, and everyone's just
let the floor squeegee sweepers just sweep you off the court at that point.
Roll him off the court. Yeah, you gotta. It's like when Darrell Revis was guarding Randy Moss, and Randy Moss was right by him, and Darrell Revis just like grabbed his hamstring instantly the second he was beat. I'm injured is the thing.
If you die on the NBA court, the rule is that they have to bury you under the logo in the middle of the game.
but not like all the way down. Like there's to be a bulge under the logo.
There's a little bit. You know, it's kind of like a home court advantage. Like you know where it is. You played there before.
Like the old dead spots in the Boston parquet.
Yeah. Guys, like,
at any moment in the game, accidentally dribbles it off of Jason Terry's bald head that's slightly protruded.
Rodrigue Bobois died here 10 years ago. You gotta avoid that corner.
And while you're being buried, because it's like mid-game, like it's just delay the game for a minute, like the fans can watch.
They all see me saluting.
The Spurs mascot is running around trying to catch the bats.
From feeding on you. It's an especially egregious death, they actually just preserve your body and leave you on top of the court. People step over Ty Lue every game, but it's just because the same spot.
That corner three spot is just like no longer the easiest spot to shoot from on the court. The most efficient, anyway.
People just keep rolling their ankles over there. Can't figure out what it is.
So difficult to play in Houston now because they had to bury the entire 2018 team after they missed 27 threes in a row.
It's true. That's just the rules.
The entire three-point arc is just players' bodies.
I'm scared.
This got dark.
Joe, get us out of here.
I've got a retro take.
Yes, please take us out of here.
So this comes from Yahoo Answers from the year 2010. The answer was from 9 years ago. So yeah, 2010, we'll say. And since Trent is a Warriors fan, I found a Warriors-themed retro take. Question asker is Will. Unsure if that's Will of the Full Court Mess podcast.
I'm sure it is.
Another Will. There's just a incognito avatar picture next to it. So could be anyone. They ask, most dysfunctional NBA team, Warriors or Knicks? That is the whole question.
When was this asked?
2010.
Okay.
So is this like the Carmelo Knicks era? Has that begun at this point?
How did the Cavs not make that move? Was it right before LeBron left? I guess. Yeah, it could have been like a month before the decision or something.
Mm-hmm. Looks like, so this would be like the 2009-2010 season.
Hold on.
Was Steph on the Warriors yet?
10-11 season.
I think
was this the, like, we just traded Monte Ellis kind of time for the Warriors?
It feels like that would be about it.
Let me double check.
I really don't have any, I don't remember any of the years for the Warriors. Like, when we talked earlier, and we were talking about tweeting 2014, I was talking about, like, Steven Jackson and Al Harrington. And immediately after I said that, I looked them up, and they both left the team in, like, 2010. 20 years are just a blur to me. I started playing in 2003. I don't know.
Let me name off some 2009 Warriors.
Sounds good.
We got Monte. We got Kalina Azubuki.
Famed analyst.
Curry. Rajah Bell. Scroll down a little bit. Steven Jackson. Anthony Morrow. Reggie Williams. Ronnie Turiaf. CJ Watson. Anthony Tolliver.
I think this might have been the team, it was the year before, they were the first team to start an entirely undrafted starting five. It was like Morrow, you know, Tolliver, Watson, Reggie Williams, as a rookie.
That's crazy.
It sounds like Curry is a rookie or maybe early in his career.
Yeah.
People don't really know how good he's going to be yet. Where are the Knicks at this point? Can we get info on that? They've got Carmelo.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Is this when, like, Phil Jackson is coaching them?
No, this is well before Phil.
So, okay. 2009, 2010 with Mike D'Antoni, they're 29-53, and they do not have Carmelo, but they do have Eddie Kerr.
Okay, then.
Did they have Amari?
No. They have Tracy McGrady? When did that happen? Juhan is here.
When did Amari tweet, D'Antoni the Pringles man?
What?
Sure, I can find that.
Darko's on this team.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This was rookie Curry season. And the Warriors did go 26-56 under head coach Don Nelson.
Donnie, yep. Okay. Well, so we've got a kind of a ballpark idea of what these teams are working with at this point. Both of them are kind of on the cusp of acquiring or have just acquired what they think is going to turn them around. The Knicks are kind of about to acquire Carmelo. The Warriors have Curry. They're going to get Clay and some other pieces soon. Anyway, so that's where we're at. The best answer is from, just says question mark. That's his username on Yahoo Answers. He says, let's make it almost unanimous and say the Warriors are more dysfunctional. You at least get the idea that the Knicks are trying to win with what they have. And you know they are saving their pennies to lure big names this summer. The Warriors, on the other hand, have no plan for this season or the next. Don Nelson is just rolling the ball out and letting those guys play. And the Warriors' front office wouldn't now, he meant to put no, K-N-O-W, but just put N-O-W, wouldn't now a sound basketball decision if it bit them right in the, and then there's three asterisks. I don't know. What possible word he could be?
That could be anything.
We'll never know. But something about biting them right. Anyway, and the sources for this answer are experience coaching, playing, and watching the game.
Playing.
Maybe this is Don Nelson responding. He has experience coaching.
That's true.
The Warriors, I assume. I don't know. Maybe it's D'Antoni.
No, maybe this is Monte.
Before he
said it was time to go. Before he said, get me out of here. I can't win with Steph Curry.
Who could?
Not Monte.
I think in that answer you said something about Don Nelson rolling the ball out and letting them play, which is just a very funny image to me. Like he's just running.
Yeah, I'm picturing that episode of Parks and Rec where Andy and Ron have two basketball teams coaching against each other, and Andy's just like lifting up his guys to dunk and like literally tackling each other. Like they're just playing, doesn't know the rules of the game at all. That's how I picture Don Nelson playing with Steph Curry, just like lifting him up to dunk. All right, good job. All right, cool.
It's like a final boss, and you have to jump over the balls that Don Nelson is throwing at you.
That's about all the retro take I have there.
Okay.
Didn't Trent have a question for us?
I do have a question for you guys. So one of my friends recently went on a date with a Turkish girl, and it turned out she had previously dated Furkan Korkmaz. You know, I was just thinking to myself, who would be the funniest current NBA player to be Eskimo Bros with? I can go first. What do you guys think?
Yeah, for me,
you know, I mean, Korkmaz like might actually be the funniest, which is why I thought of it. But I think my final choice is 38-year-old Zach Randolph. I'm 22, so any girl I'm dating is. I mean, she was railed out by like Zach Randolph, like in his like mid to late 30s, which is hilarious to me.
That's a scenario where like she sees him in the bar or something. And she's like, I mean, I guess he is famous.
Wasn't what I had in mind when I love a glamorous NBA player, but I'll take it.
You take what you can get. It's hard out there.
She's like, oh my God, I have a real soft spot for the Jailblazers.
How about Devin Booker? Just because it would make me be like, does she think I'm more attractive or less?
I was going to comment on the Kuzma point of him being attractive. Devin Booker's on that list too. Of I'm sure women in LA and women everywhere just find Devin Booker attractive.
I haven't heard so much about Devin Booker. People aren't really buzzing about the Suns out here.
I'm gonna go for a deep cut here. I'm gonna go. Well, it's not that deep cut, but I want Serge Ibaka, only because of that famous tweet where the dude tweeted about that he's like, "Damn, I don't want to be with Kerry Hilson. She's been being hit with the Ibaka hammer for years."
Whoa. How about Jimmer Fredette?
That wouldn't be great. I don't maybe it'd be better. I mean, he's like, that's a great story to tell people. Everybody loves Jimmer. One time my friend got me a Jimmer Fredette jersey for my 21st birthday. And I wore it like there's like this one day a year at my school where people like went to go, you know, party or whatever. And like my friend hit me up to go to a it was like an African American frat party. You know, like traditionally, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'll definitely slide. And I rolled through, and I forget I was wearing the Jimmer jersey. One of like two white people in this entire house. I'm like, well, this isn't great.
Truth thought he had to make a damn statement.
It's a very Spencer Hawes move, you know, which I'm not not about.
So Spencer, I think it would be amazing Spencer Hawes.
If it was Andre Ingram. Just because, like, can you imagine, like, you go to work and, like, the NBA fans there are like, yo, did you see that incredible Andre Ingram story? And it'd be fun to just throw in, like, oh, yeah, we're Eskimo Brothers. And they're like, wait, what's that?
I imagine you're like, yeah, I'm Eskimo Brothers with an NBA player. And they're like, oh, really? Who it is? And you're like, well, I mean, kind of an NBA player.
He's on a
Yeah, he's in. Yeah. No, he played last week. Look, check the stats.
He got minutes.
You bring it up in conversation when he gets the 10-day contract. You're like, oh, by the way, did you guys hear about Andre Ingram? I got something for this water cooler talk.
She just, like, the girl just hates him. And then you're like, oh, I'm trying to go to a Laker game. Like, you want to come with me? And she's like, oh, yeah, I probably won't see him there.
how late in the season is it? Okay.
This was his hero game of last season.
There's got to be a couple other gyms just sitting out there.
There's no wrong answer, really. I asked my friend, and he said Donatas Matauskas, that guy. Which I just for randomness points, I think is a pretty good one.
I think Abdel Nader would be really good, just because it'd be fun to pick any player that just like a huge portion of Twitter just hates them.
Raul Nito, because it's just like, I can't live up to this. I'm never gonna be this handsome. What does she see in me?
Evan Turner, I think, for self-explanatory reasons.
Okay.
I'm thinking also Jameer Nelson or Raymond Felton. some just like large square man.
Somebody who gets you like checking out your figure in the mirror afterwards.
She's like, I dated an elite NBA point guard, Raymond Felton. Well, should we wrap this up?
I'm open to it.
All right. Well, it's just we got to get this going before Will starts thinking about someone dating Kyle Lowry. Then we're in dangerous territory.
There it is.
I don't want the stage of separation between me and the NBA player having sex.
All right, we gotta go.
I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand Trent's question. Like, why there's a girl involved in this?
So, you can follow Trent at Trent is tweeting on Twitter. He tweets. He has one tweet a month.
It's a good one, though. The last one got 200 likes, or faves, as they called them back in the day. And now I'm scared to tweet anything else.
Everyone, tweet at Trent till he replies and make him break his streak. You can follow us at A Full Court Mess, where you can send us hot takes of your own or hot takes that you've seen in, you know, quote tweet form, screenshot form. Maybe you saw it on Instagram, whatever.
Maybe it's a take of your own that you're just like wanted to put out there. Wanted to make public.
I thought of this.
Want to get off your conscience.
Yeah, I thought of this. You should discuss it.
Yeah, we're going to have a Get It Off Your Chest Fridays where your takes.
And I will take us away with a special thinker. So our special thinker for today is from a man that we started the episode with, best friend of the show, Michael Thompson. He tweets, if the Warriors were the Stones, KD is Keith. Steph is Mick because he brings it all together. Draymond is Ronnie, a little wild. And Clay is Charlie, unassuming and cool and in the background. Y'all see the comparisons?
I see the comparisons, Michael.
I see it now.
And none other than Flea actually replied to this and said, Iguodala is Bobby Keys.
Thank you, Flea.
So, I love Michael Thompson's fascination with Charlie Watts, who is like widely known as maybe like one of the worst like rock and roll drummers. He's just like every like once a week he's like, man, I wish I learned to play the drums like Charlie Watts. And it's like he's not very good, man.
It's like, actually, you can do that.
Yeah, like you just pick it up a couple of months, you're right there.
There's a great exchange he has with the Riffsman where he's talking about wanting to play guitar like somebody, and the Riffsman just goes like, oh, I can teach you. And he goes, nah, I'm too old, Riffs, man.
So, yeah, did Michael Thompson say his son is Charlie Watts? His son, Clay Thompson, is Charlie Watts?
Yeah, said Clay is Charlie, unassuming and cool and in the background.
He didn't mention anything about quality in there, so it's fair.
Yeah.
He's in the back.
And he's cool and unassuming.
I will give him that. Charlie is pretty cool.
This is Michael Thompson's version of which one of my garbage sons is Charlie Watt.
Michael Thompson, we love you.
We love you so much.
Clay, we love you. And everyone listening, say every week, we love you too.
Thank you very much.